Beauty.
Are you running on empty? Good morning and welcome. You're listening to the Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin. And we're the Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology related questions.
That's right, Kev. Saturday morning, give us a call, 395-1450. The phone lines are open. We invite you to give us a call. And if you're having a problem with your computer, you've got a strange error message, you've tried to install something recently, and anyway, you're stumped.
Or you want to talk to Dave about his hair care products, you can give us a call here about that, too. Or you can send us an email, computerguys@whtc.com. We'll be checking that throughout the show as well as throughout the week. So if you just want to send us a quick email, hopefully we can get to it on the show.
There we go. I forgot to actually open up the email this morning, Kevin.
Better see if there's something in there. Might be a little surprise hiding in the inbox.
Well, you know, there's usually something.
Maybe somebody sent you a virus.
Well, if there's nothing, there's always spam.
There's always spam. We can just read spam. I like the ones where the subject sounds sort of interesting, and then really you get onto the message, and it has absolutely nothing to do. It's like a selection from a book.
Ooh, or a call back now. We won a lottery.
We did. All right.
Yeah. Cool. How much?
Hold on. Is it an 800 number? Maybe we should call him on the show.
Ooh, 2 million euros. Wow. Speaking of
euros, yesterday at 2 a.m., or maybe it was 2 p.m., can't remember exactly, the .eu extension was sort of released for public sale. So basically, people could start registering the .eu extension for their domains. And that is really just European Union. And so all the countries that are members of the European Union could go and start buying .eu websites. So kind of a big deal. You know, we didn't really go out and buy one because you can't. You have to have an address listed in one of the countries.
Oh, okay.
So couldn't buy, Kevin. .eu.
I'm sure somebody already bought that one.
Think so?
Those probably go early. Early on in the selling.
Yeah.
People are just lining up ready to buy.
I bet they're for sale on eBay now. I bet I could find one. I'm going to see if I can find one on eBay.
You just got to be able to figure if you can transfer it. So
that's right.
Well, Kev, we did get an email here that I think we should read.
Sure.
This is from one of our listeners, and she says, thanks for listening to the Computer Guys. We also wish the show was an hour a week, but I don't know how many listeners would be able to... Oh, then hold on now. This was a question about...
Do you need a proofread this? To read a story?
Okay, here we go. love your show on Saturday mornings. Wish it would be back to an hour. I've been turning my computer off every night and start it up again the next day. Some people leave it on all the time. What is the best thing to do? I'd like your opinion. It's bound to be good.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, turn it off every night. Hey, this isn't something you have to do. Nothing's going to blow up if you don't. But your computer's going to run better if you do.
If you shut it off.
Things are going to be faster.
Yep.
You know, you're going to have less bugs in your programs. You're going to get less errors. You're going to extend your system life. Just so you know, every component in your system's rated by hours. And really the one you're concerned with is your hard drive. It's rated by hours. So when you hit that number of hours, they don't really guarantee it anymore and things are going to start going wrong. So if you figure there's probably at least 12 hours there in the night, early in the morning, where you probably, 8 hours. You're not going to be using it. Why should it even be on?
Usually what I say is turn your computer on for the first time you need to use it. Let's say you check your email first thing in the morning. Turn it on.
Turn it on.
Now, if you're going to use it at least twice more that day, just leave it on. Your computer should have power settings set to save electricity after a while.
Yep.
So after maybe an hour, it'll go into standby.
Yep, that's right. And, you know, it's every time you open a program and you close it back out, you don't get all of that memory back. It takes a certain amount to run that program, and when you close it out, you don't get it all back. So if you ever want to get that memory back, the only way to do that is by rebooting. Same as turning it off, turning it back on.
Although Windows XP is a lot better about that.
It's better. Still not perfect. So I would say turn it off at night. You know, if you skip a night, not a big deal. Skip two nights, not a huge deal.
Now, you know, the only thing that I would say against shutting it off at night
What's that?
For those who are addicted to maybe solitaire or free cell. Who
need to keep the game active.
Yeah, they need to get up in the middle of the night, you know, 2:30, they get a little hankering for solitaire. Got to get up for 20 minutes.
That's true. Josh, well, maybe you want to leave it on.
So I'm just curious. What do people do who, I don't know, have a lot of friends that want to keep up on their lives and stuff, and you want to stay online with an away message up?
You can do that if you want.
Tell everybody that you're sleeping.
Well, if you really want to keep it on.
That's pretty important, so yeah. Everybody knows that you're sleeping.
Yeah, they should all know that.
Yeah, those are those people that live online. So, yeah,
Josh, I used to live online and leave my away message on at night, but I don't do that anymore.
Did you really?
I'm not the only person that does that or would do that, actually. I've got like a whole list of 20 people that are always offline or always on away, and they've got their messages up.
Yeah, what does that say about the people you hang out
with? College students. College students live online.
Yeah,
they don't
exactly.
ever turn their computers off.
Why would they?
Well, the computers would run better if they did.
So, I wouldn't have to fix them.
And all that file sharing, too. Anybody who shares files, you know, they leave it on all the time.
Yeah.
So you got to get the, you know, all the stuff on your list and make your list available to everybody else. So those people, leave it on all the time.
Or, like I said, if you're addicted to solitaire.
Addicted to solitaire or any other game that you can't save. That you can only leave on the screen, and when you close
you
it out.
You can't sleep, you're a little restless, it's 2:30, get up for a little snack, a glass of water.
A little snack,
a couple
solitaire.
Games of solitaire. There you go. So then you could leave it on all the time.
You could do that.
It's just, what do they say? I don't know if this
you
is
boot
still
it,
true.
Yeah, you boot it more than 3 times a day, it ends up using more power than if you left it on all day.
Assuming that you have some power settings set correctly in your computer.
That's right. So keep that in mind. Generally, turn it off at night. It's a pretty good rule of thumb. So,
well, there we go. Give us a call, 395-1450. The phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from some listeners today, although I imagine they're probably all working out in their yard, or at least getting ready to work out in their yard.
Yeah, it's a little chilly right now, so you need it to warm up a little bit before you go out do that.
Hey, guys, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You guys recommend, I think it was you guys that recommended putting your keyboard in the dishwasher.
I did that last week. I'd like to say... I haven't tested it, but it looks clean.
It looks clean, probably. I don't know if it works.
It will.
What did you do with the, since you just did it then, what did you do with the cord?
You just bundle it up. Just tie it up.
Bundle it? Did you put it like in saran wrap or something to keep it from getting
wet?
Set
it on top of the keyboard. Because I put the keys all facing down so that they would get the most
So they all facing down. And you put it in, obviously, without any other dishes in there or anything else.
No, I did it with the normal laundry.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
You did it with the normal load with the
dirty
with the soap?
Dishes.
Wait. You just said you did it with the normal laundry. Did you put it in your washing machine or dishwasher?
You know what I mean. Yeah, normal load. Right. Normal load of dishes. Well, yesterday I called it.
Did you end up with any, dried chunks of anything on it?
No.
Do
you ever do that with your other dishes? How much food do you leave on your plate, Kev? I don't even remember.
No, but keyboard's different. I don't want food chunks stuck underneath keys. That's my concern. Generally, they say do it without other dishes.
Well, then you're going to be wasting a lot of water. I think it's fine.
It's like 4 gallons.
That's a pet peeve of mine, though, is a dishwasher is supposed to wash dishes, right? So I was going to put a dish in the dishwasher the other day, and one of my parents said, hey, hold on a second.
That's not your pet peeve of the dishwasher. That's a pet peeve of the parents.
No. Listen to this, because there's validity to it, and everybody, I think, could agree with it, is I had a whole bunch of food on that plate at the time, and I was just going to throw it in the dishwasher and go, it washes dishes, right? It's a dishwasher. That's what it does. No. You got to rinse it off first.
No, you don't.
Yes,
I don't
you do.
Ever rinse my dishes, and they come out clean every time.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Yeah, they do. Unless you have an old dishwasher, maybe.
The only exception is if you've got, oatmeal that's been stuck on a bowl for, 4 or 5 days, that's not coming off. That needs a pre-soak.
What bugs me even more than that, just not rinsing it off, is when people have stuff like that, and then later on when they take it out of the dishwasher, there's still junk on it, and they don't see it. They just put it in the closet, and then the next time you realize it is when you're eating
it. Well, that's flavor.
That's gross.
That just adds a little flavor to whatever you're eating.
Well, to change the topic.
Yeah, we're ready to dishwasher, guys.
Well,
seriously,
it's about the keyboard.
All right.
Here we go. Personal computer market is expected to slow. Looks like more of us will be keeping our computers longer. A new forecast from a technology research firm says the rapid growth in the computer market will slow over the next few years. The reason? A boost in computer purchases is leaving many customers with systems that won't need to be replaced anytime soon. IDC says it expects to see the 15% annual growth rate in the computer field drop to about 10% over the next few years. In addition, IDC says Microsoft's announcements a couple weeks ago that it would delay the release of its new Windows Vista operating system will have an impact on the market. It's believed that will cause would-be computer buyers to put off their purchases until next year.
It's true. We found talked to somebody yesterday who said as a result of listening to our show, they decided to wait on buying a new computer when they found out it was going to be delayed.
Now, you can buy a computer now that'll be able to run it.
Yeah, and Microsoft is recommending waiting, but it's ridiculous because you can't buy one.
You might end up waiting forever.
I know. So you can buy, you can get your new computer, and you can use it with Windows XP and play all your games, do everything you want to do, and then when it comes out, you can upgrade.
Right, but you can't buy the $300 Dell you see advertised in the magazine. You
can't probably buy the $500 one.
Right.
It's going to cost you a little bit more. But it's going to be worth it. I mean, you're going to end up with a better computer anyways. So
even so, I agree.
Yeah.
So, but I have talked to quite a few people who say, you know what? I just want to wait a little bit.
Sure. It's going to be a year, and then you probably don't want to buy it right away. So it's going to be another 6 months. So you're looking out maybe a year from today. Maybe a year and 2 months or so. Anyways.
I want to run it the first day it's out just to spite you.
You're going to be crashing left and right.
No, it's going to be awesome.
Run it on your own. Run it on your home computer. Don't run it on your laptop. Well, it won't run on your laptop anyways.
I think we've had this conversation before.
What's that?
About me running it the day it comes out.
And?
Well, I don't know. I just think we've had it before. We need new things to talk about.
I don't think we have. Okay. So, new thing to talk about. Dave Matthews Band has been resisting selling their songs on iTunes. Now they finally decided to offer all of its songs through iTunes. The entire Dave Matthews Band catalog is available for download on iTunes as of yesterday. And this is backdated as of Wednesday, so it's available as today as well. It's releasing the album Stand Up on iTunes after they got such great feedback. They decided to put the whole catalog for sale. So it was a little test run with Stand Up. The Dave Matthews Band only used to sell digital downloads through its own website. Interesting. And later only through a few select download sites like Napster. Now it's all on iTunes if you want to get it. 99 cents a song.
There we go. Well, Kev, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning, Dan. You're on with the computer guys.
Hi, good morning.
How you doing, Dan?
Yes, see, I've got a Mac and my CD tray of release.
Okay.
Got any ideas on that, how to get that open?
What kind of a Mac is it? Is it an iMac?
It's an old one.
Okay. Usually on a CD tray, there's a little tiny hole. Looks like a paper clip could get inside there if you straighten it.
I've heard that there was a place where you put a paper clip in to release them or something. But
yeah, basically what it does is if you see that tiny little hole, you just want to straighten out a paper clip, get it as straight as you can, and gently insert it into that hole and continue pushing, because what it actually does is it hits a gear that forces the drive open.
Oh, okay.
So basically you're manually kind of turning the motor, which cranks the drive open.
Yeah, you can do that when the computer's off, too.
Oh, with it off?
Yeah, the computer doesn't have to be on to put the paperclip in and force it open.
Oh, okay.
And every once in a while,
is it better for it to be off?
It's probably a better idea to have it off when you're trying to do this. And every once in a while, you'll find that it's just kind of stuck, and once you open it once, everything's fine.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know if there was a way that you key it.
No special keys. You just have to kind of force it open. It might take a little bit of elbow grease, so you just have to keep put that paperclip in there, move it around a little bit, and keep pushing until you feel resistance. And
what do we got, about 3 inches, or how far back?
That's maybe an inch in there.
There may be a way to, if while your computer's on, if you single-click on that drive and go up to maybe the special menu, there might be an eject command.
Oh, okay.
So you can look through those menus at the top and see if there's an eject command.
All right.
And that might do it for you, too. But if it's actually physically stuck, you're going to need to bust out the paperclip.
All right. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Dan. Good luck. Got to go low-tech with the high-tech equipment sometimes.
That's right.
I remember on, I've done that quite a few times. I always think it's funny when you show people that that trick won't hurt it. You would think it would hurt it, but that's why they put the hole there.
As long as you do it right. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you got to fish around a little bit.
All right, well, let's go to the next phone call here, Kev. Let's take a look here. Dave, good morning, Dave. You're on with the computer guys.
Morning.
How you doing, Dave?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Can't complain.
Good. Say, I just had a question on hooking up multiple monitors.
Okay.
Is there splitters available, or is it a hassle, or is it possible? Or
well, what are you looking to do with multiple monitors?
Well, I just want to watch two different things at once.
Two different things. If you're going to be doing two different things simultaneously, you have to have a video card that supports dual displays. And the way that that works is you really, it needs to have two outputs on your video card. So if you, you know, where your monitor actually physically connects to your computer,
yeah,
it needs to have two different types of connection. It'll either be two of the 15-pin VGA or one DVI, which is a newer type of output, and one VGA.
Oh.
But you have to have a graphics card that's capable of dual display support.
Is the default card, is that a...
Only on new... any system made in the last 6 months, really.
Oh. And usually even then, mostly on the higher-end systems.
So if you have a kind of a lower end or an older, you know, looking a year or older, it's probably not going to have dual display support as from the factory. Now, it can be upgraded.
Yeah.
You know, you can put in a new video card that does support that, and it's not actually that expensive to do that. But then it gives you the ability to do it. And Dave runs it. You run it at the office, Dave.
Oh, yeah, it's nice.
So it's definitely, it's a nice feature, but if you don't see those two different types of outputs on the back of your video card or on the back of your computer, you probably can't do it.
Okay, so then that's a different type of a cord, too, then, that would hook onto into that
yeah,
video card.
Yep, it would be, you know, if you're hooking up, you can get a converter for it.
Oh, yeah.
So if one is a DVI and the other's a VGA and you need two VGAs,
okay,
you can get a DVI to VGA converter.
Okay.
So that's not the problem. It just has to have two different types of connections.
Okay. And the other thing is, I heard you talking about the dishwasher deal. I can't imagine that. We've had buttons come off the keyboard on our older ones. Isn't that a problem that you end up opening the door and finding all your keys on the bottom?
Didn't happen to me. Oh. So, you know, they were all there.
Okay.
It might have to do with the quality of the keyboard. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'd maybe do it on a light wash if it has the light wash setting.
Right. I'm not ready to try that yet, but
okay.
I thought it was interesting.
Oh, yeah, I'd recommend
well,
it.
Well, Dave, you better try it this week and let us know if it works.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.
So
Dave,
we'll have a report on that. He's going to plug in this keyboard, and we'll see if it actually still
works. My dad did
works.
It. Worked
for him?
For him, yeah.
Yeah. So the biggest thing is letting it dry.
The only thing is because it was a white keyboard, or I guess it was white.
Mm-hmm.
You know how the keys are usually a different type of plastic than the rest of the keyboard?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, this thing was, I bought it in 99. So we're looking at a 7-year-old keyboard that I stuck with for 7 years.
Never been washed.
It was getting a little grungy at the end.
No,
it had been washed once.
Oh, yeah.
Not in the dishwasher.
Okay.
Hand washed. So it's the keys are a little yellow.
Mm.
Just because the sunlight fades. Like, have you ever seen a monitor that sits in a near
yeah.
a window?
Yeah, it gets all yellow on top.
It does. It gets
the plastic
kinda,
turns yellow.
Yeah.
So that's what, the keys are yellow? Everything else is sparkling white?
A little bit, yeah. Everything else is pretty sparkling.
That's nice.
You know how you always, it leaves, kind of the right hand always rests more? Have you noticed that?
The natural keyboard, too, which changes everything.
Not
that big old hump in the middle. So, you put your wrists on it. You don't put your wrists on a standard keyboard.
Oh, that's true.
So,
yeah, I think everyone should switch over to an ergonomic keyboard where it's split in the middle.
Eh.
Hey, when you have carpal tunnel, come talk to me.
I don't have it yet. I use the gel pad. It saves me. It's awesome.
Well, anyway, I think the ergonomic keyboard is the way to go.
We'll see what happens.
I've been sold since the day I bought it.
Really?
It's just so much more comfortable. I mean, look at this. You got your wrists turned at an awkward angle.
Oh, they're straight.
As opposed to, because you're going to have your hands at this 45-degree angle. Anyway.
You know what? Bring in your old one.
You want to use it for
a week? I might try
it
for a week.
It takes a few days to get used to it.
It would definitely take a few days for me to get used
to
it.
But
I might try.
It's so nice. Once you switch over, you'll go, oh, this, you know, I can see.
But then you can't type on, can you type on a normal one then?
I can. I don't like it. Especially on laptops, because laptop keyboards are so small. And
oh man, I don't know. I'll have to think about that. But I might be willing to try it. So anyway, this is big news for the week. Boot Camp. Apple has released a piece of software called Boot Camp Now you can have your Mac and your Windows 2. And you don't need two computers. Apple Computer has unveiled software so its new Intel-based Macs can run both its own operating system and Microsoft Windows. You need Apple's new beta test version of Bootcamp software. It's available as a free download. It lets computer users with a Windows XP installation disk load it onto the Mac. Users can then switch between the two operating systems. There is a downside. You can only use one system at a time, and you have to reboot to switch. But it could be better than buying two computers. So this is kind of big news. People are pretty excited about this, but I'm not exactly sure why. You know, the hardcore Mac users have always kind of come down on Microsoft and people who run Windows. So what do they want to run Windows for now?
Well, you know, I do, there's some, people say, you know, Apple hardware is nicer and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I'm looking at Josh's laptop here, and it's not that it's not nice, but, you know.
Hey, you knock it off. Well,
it's like laptop number four, so it better be nice. You know?
Okay, here we go. This is an email we got in. Gethuman.com. G-E-T-Human, H-U-M-A-N.com. It is a list of how to call these 800 numbers. You know how you never get through to a person?
Uh-huh.
You can sit there and you can, to blah, 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 press one, and da-da-da, and just on and on and on before you know it. And then by the time you finally get to somebody, what do they say?
I don't know.
You're in the wrong department. Let me transfer you.
Let me transfer you over and you start over.
Sometimes you get disconnected. I hate that. Oh, I hate it. And so a lot of times I just start pushing zero.
Or when it talks to you and says, okay, how can I help you? And it's the automated thing. I just go, blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry. I didn't understand that. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, could you please say that one more time?
So here we go. If you go to gethuman.com, it'll give you all these. Okay, for instance, here we go. You want to call a Visa? Call 1-800-247-4080. Press zero twice and ignore invalid account message. So a lot of times just pushing zero helps. But they've got all these. Look at this one. If you have a Sam's Club credit card, you press 1#6. How do they figure that out?
Somebody sits down, does it?
Maybe somebody's got a lot of time, or they have friends at all these companies. So they have them for Dell here. They've got them for Apple. They've got it for HP, Gateway, IBM. I mean, all the major people here. If you call Dell, press zero repeatedly. There we go.
That's it.
Like I said, you just start pressing zero. It's got it for health insurance companies, internet providers, mobile phones, cell phones, pharmacies, all kinds of different manufacturers, Maytag I saw in there, shipping, software store. I mean, they've got pretty much everybody. So gethuman.com if you hate those phone trees as much as I do. So there's a website that's worth going to on your computer.
It's kind of cool.
Also, another email that we got here. I was gone for a couple weeks, Kev, so I doubt you guys went through all these emails.
No, we didn't.
This is from one of our friends. Hey, guys, just found your podcast on iTunes. I'm loving it. It's tough for me to wake up and listen at 8:30 a.m., but now I don't have to. I can listen to any time. Nice work. And that's from one of our friends. He says, peace out.
Peace out.
And so if you want to listen to the computer guys, we are recording this, and it can be listened to later if you want to catch some of the things we talked about. You have to have iTunes, though, and you just go to the music store and search for WHTC.
And there will be.
It's
and actually, you don't have to have iTunes.
You don't have to have iTunes.
No. If you go to podcastalley.com and you type in WHTC Computer Guys or WHTC, I'm not quite sure, but I signed you guys up on there, too.
So anybody
can download the file, or if you go, there's another place too. There are three avenues you can go about this.
Josh, we need to get these on the WHTC website.
Computerguys.podomatic.com.
Podomatic. Who's going to remember that?
I know.
Go to iTunes.
No, just go to iTunes. It's the easiest way to go.
Yep.
Josh will be updating our website for us and putting those links on there. So you just go to WHTC.com in a couple weeks, and hopefully they'll have it up there.
Hopefully. We're going to say hopefully.
Well, we got, and also, you know, just looking through here, this reminds me that there are all these emails from PayPal. We've got one from the Internal Revenue Service.
They want us to verify our account information.
They do Chase Online Banking. I don't know who this guy is, but it's a private memo.
Oh,
obviously spam.
Oh, private memo. We better read that. That's important.
All kinds of them from Chase here. Our account at Chase must really be out of date.
Oh, I know. Wow, the account that has this address listed? I didn't know anything about that.
The IRS here says...
Must be for the computer guy's credit card. Have you been using that? Dave?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
So it's just a reminder that most of your credit card companies and the IRS, they won't contact you by email.
No, they won't. Especially if you've never registered an email address with them and somehow they're asking for your information at that address. Kind of strange. If you're suspicious, it's probably a bad thing. So this is an interesting case, the Apple versus Apple. It's been going on for a while. The case of Apple versus Apple is coming down to the judge. The Beatles Apple Corp is suing Apple Computer for using the name and logo to sell iTunes. Apple Corp claims that it violates a 1991 agreement between the companies that states they won't get into each other's business. The case is one. Oh, I wonder if that was the official statement. They won't get into each other's business. It's kind of ambiguous. The case is winding down. Apple Computer lawyer Anthony Grabiner says music lovers are smart enough to tell the difference between the two logos. He says that their agreement said Apple Computer could engage in data transmission service, even if that happened to be music. Apple Corp lawyer Jeffrey Voss says that's quibbling over semantics, and Apple Computer is clearly in the music business with iTunes. Judge Edward Mann has not said when he will rule on the case. So that's still going on. It's coming down to the judge.
Yeah, you know, and that was something I had forgot about. I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago, how they were being sued. And I said, well, that's dumb because they've already figured that out, but I forgot.
Yep, still going on.
Yeah, so anyway. Well, Kev.
Oh, what's that?
That means it's already 9 o'clock. Well,
where
almost.
Where did the time go?
I know.
Another week. It's gone.
Well, we'll be back next week, though.
That's right. We will be back next week at 8:30 from 8:30 to 9. So if we couldn't take your call today, give us a call at our office. We are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland, 833 Maple Avenue. Our phone number there is 616-394-4940.
That's right. And if you'd like to get a hold of us, stop on in or give us a call. And if not, you can always wait till next week. We'll be back. I think, Kev, you and I will both be back next week.
We will be back.
So. Well, thanks to our callers today. Thanks for all those emails. And we've got a couple we'll get to next week. Thanks to everybody and have a great week.
Thanks for listening to another hour of the Holland Area's News and Information Station, 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.